We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's go, North America. You're waking up with the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. It's a Thursday in the summer. Oh, yeah. Which means it must be Bogus and Mraz in for DA. We've hummed along the first hour. There has been plenty of... Do you know how to tie a tie? I don't know how to tie a tie. LeBron is the Terminator. We revisited that. LeBron in the bubble in the Lakers. Is anybody taking this seriously if you're a big team until the postseason? Big Ten scheduling we got into. Is the college football season full steam ahead? And oh my goodness, Major League Baseball's worst nightmare. Are the Marlins going to make the playoffs? That is in the books. If you want to chime in on any of that, at Mraz CBS, at Andrew Bogish, 855-212-4227, the phone number. Still to come, Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, going to join us up a little bit later on, and John Gruden with one of the wackiest stunts I've ever seen from a head coach. And I don't even know how to go about talking about that, but we will break that all down. But Andrew Bogish, I did want to start this hour with as much as we've rained on these big teams, right? The Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, the Celtics, they've all kind of taken their turns with the foot off the gas in the bubble throughout the first week. And we both agreed that ultimately, chalk probably still will prevail in the NBA postseason, and that when the lights come on for these teams, they're going to be just okay. Now, the one team we have talked about throughout the show the last week or so has been the Toronto Raptors in the East. The defending champs without Kawhi Leonard have really had still an amazing year. I mean, the job Nick Nurse has done with the Toronto Raptors has been incredible. Pascal Siakam, Kyle Lowry really carrying the load, and they are a dangerous team in the East. But I guess because they did it with Kawhi last year and they don't have Kawhi, we just don't take them seriously enough to compete or beat the Celtics or Bucks. You know, there's a team like that out in the West. They may not be the defending champs, and they may not have lost their star player, but they're really freaking good. And that's the Denver Nuggets, who sit at the third seed in the West while the Rockets and Thunder trail just behind there. And the Denver Nuggets had such a big year last year, mainly because of Nikola Jokic, and obviously him bursting on the scene. He's still there. They still have Paul Millsap. They are a dangerous, dangerous team. They beat the Spurs yesterday 132-26. And let me start before I get into the X factor of this whole thing, which can't go unnoticed. Their leading scorer from yesterday. Jokic has 25 points, 11 assists. I mean, as a guy with that much size to be able to play the way he plays, you know, obviously has a lot of the Dirk Nowitzki tendencies we see, but he's more physical. He's an absolute star. Greg Popovich, the coach of the Spurs yesterday, compared him to Larry Bird, Bogish. And when you hear Larry Bird, I know that's not Michael Jordan. That's not, I guess for a lack of a better term, LeBron, Kobe, Bill Russell. But Larry Bird is still Larry freaking Bird. And to hear that comparison still kind of is jarring. And I think a really good sign when a coach with that much credibility compares you to such. So do you see Jokic having the stardom and all-time greatness of Larry Bird?
I mean, the all-time greatness of Bird is a stretch just because he's not there yet. And it's not fair to Bird to put him right next to him like that. But I mean, the comparison, I think, is fair in that. And I don't think it's that default. And we have this bad habit of, like, comparing white guys to white guys when it comes to basketball. Like, you know, you're Dirk or you're Larry Bird. But, I mean, I think the point is that Jokic plays the game in a way that's really not defined by his size. Yes, I mean, he's huge, and he may or may not have lost a lot of weight since the NBA season actually shut down. But, like, he's 7 feet, but he's got guard skills. He can rebound. He can score from outside. He can score from inside. Like, Bird did everything, and Jokic did everything. And there's a maturity to their game. There is kind of this, like, hidden athleticism again, and it sounds like all the stupid crutch things, but, like, you know, you're not going to line up Bird and go, oh, man, that guy's a decathlete. But Bird ran up and down the floor, again, shot threes, had some handle, eventually looked like my dad when he was later on in his NBA career. And Jokic is the same way. I mean, the conversation, what, 5 months ago was that maybe he's a little too pudgy and out of shape, and now he's slimmed down and got a little more definition. I mean, the guy is an elite NBA player right now. Historically, we'll get there at some point, but, I mean, he's a top 10 NBA player. He's that good, and he probably, you know, if he was in the East, obviously, this team, there'd be a slightly different conversation about how far he by himself can take them. The problem is the depth of teams around them in the Western Conference, but right now, you know, if you're making a list of teams that could keep us from LA in the Western Conference Final, I think they have to be number one because we don't know where the Rockets are health-wise. The Jazz miss Bogdanovich. And, you know, as good of a story as the Thunder is, I don't know that I can say that they're going to upset somebody in an extended series. But the Nuggets, if they can get themselves healthy, which they're not now either, around Jokic, they're going to be a real tough out starting right away in round two.
Yeah, and that's the whole bit, right? So if Jokic is a top 10 player, and I agree he is, and this is a star, talent-driven league, yeah, there's no reason to think that the Nuggets can't compete to try to get to an NBA Finals. Some might say, you know, as LeBron continues to get older, that maybe the Nuggets are a year or two away from really hitting that focus, and who knows, maybe that's the next dominant team, and that could be fair. But in a weird bubble year, where, you know, anything could happen, and obviously Avery Bradley not playing defense for the Lakers, and who knows about the Clippers as well, even though they are loaded at the top, the real X factor would be for the Nuggets to have another bona fide stud star with them. And for the second straight game, Michael Porter Jr. scores 30 points. He had 30 points and 15 rebounds over the Spurs. And I don't want to jump to conclusions, because this could simply be Michael Porter having the hot hand. But, and you know this better than anybody, Bogus, you're obviously a college football, for lack of a better term, junkie, if you will. You love college hoops. There was a time where Michael Porter Jr. was looked at as a bona fide first overall pick at Mizzou. He got, was it the injury in Missouri, or did he end up?
He hurt his back,
He hurt his back before he bowed out. Right, and then that's what kept him sliding down the draft board and then would have trouble in his rookie year, obviously getting on the floor. But the talent and the potential for Michael Porter Jr. was there. I mean, he opened eyes, and that seemed to be a guy at one point we thought could be the slam dunk, franchise-changing, to a certain extent, first overall pick. Well, he's starting to finally look like that guy after this extended time off and coming back to the bubble. And maybe this is Michael Porter Jr.'s coming out party. And if Michael Porter Jr. continues to look like this and could score 30 points for them as the rest of the Nuggets continue to get healthy, and Jokic is who he is, well, now we're talking about some real intrigue and some real interesting situations, especially in a second-round series that could potentially have the Clippers and Nuggets facing off. You know, if Porter and Jokic up front can keep at bay a Paul George and go score for score with Kawhi and George, that could be a real fun series, and that could be the kind of team that derails us getting from Lakers-Clippers, and maybe there's a better shot if the Nuggets play like this that LeBron sees himself as a role in the Terminator before he sees a Western Conference Final versus the Clippers if the Denver Nuggets look this way. I think Porter Jr. has now become the ultimate X-factor in the Western Conference. I know that's hyperbole, and I know that goes against me saying we can't take any of these games seriously, but if Michael Porter Jr. is the star now, or emerging star, and is finally healthy and is finally clicking and has had just the right amount of rest, the Nuggets are absolutely a dangerous threat. Again, I won't pick them. I will still go Clippers-Lakers, but my antenna is now officially up on the Denver Nuggets as a party crasher bogus.
Yeah, I think I'd still like Michael Porter Jr. to be their number three guy right now. I think Jamal Murray being fully healthy would make maybe a slightly bigger difference. But and normally, too, Sean, like, and especially in the NBA, I would tell you that you have to kind of pay your dues, right? I mean, it's the history of the NBA, and we talked about it so much with Jordan and the documentary where, you know, you got to beat the Pistons, and you got to, and it took them 2 years, it took them a third try, and then they finally got through the Pistons. Like, you have to go step by step by step. Even now with guys changing teams and moving around, you don't always go from 0 to 60. And I know the Raptors kind of just did it, but the Raptors also were an established Eastern Conference power, and then Kawhi was the final piece because the DeRozan experiment, you know, needed a change. So I would normally say I think the Nuggets are a year or two away from being an elite team and having a real chance to mess things up here. But I think that in this bubble, the conversation along those lines has to be different because part of the normal maturation is going in and winning a huge road playoff game somewhere, like winning a game 7 on somebody else's home floor, having to go into this loud, hostile environment. And that's clearly not going to be the case right now, as hard as they're going to try. And as competitive as these games might be as we get deeper into August and September, it's still not going to feel 100% like a playoff game, and that's got to be an advantage, or at least help the teams that are somewhat inexperienced, because, and I don't know how much I love this very trendy, this feels like an AAU tournament that everybody keeps throwing around right now, but like, it does seem like an AAU tournament where there's nearly, you know, there's only a handful of people watching, and there's multiple games going on at the same time, and guys are going to other games to watch their buddies play, and I think that kind of gives you almost like a youthful ignorance where you don't maybe understand the full impact of what you're doing. So whereas Michael Porter Jr. might normally be like, oh, I mean, am I going to trust him against the Clippers at Staples Center? I don't have to ask that question to the same extent now because maybe I can trust him against the Clippers in a basically empty arena in Orlando, Florida.
Totally agree. I mean, there was even that story right before the Nets had beat the Bucks. I guess they had seen, maybe it was a couple of Houston Rockets by the pool, and they were giving some of the Nets young players tips on how to beat the Bucks or something like that. And that's the kind of stuff you're talking about. That's just, that's not going to happen when you're traveling arena to arena in a regular NBA season. You know, as you walk down and basically Russell Westbrook's putting on the sunscreen and he pulls, you know, basically Timothy Cabarrot over to tell him, hey, look, this is how you're going to guard Chris Middleton. Ugh. That's the kind of wild stuff going on. And the weird thing is, as you advance through this bubble and you make it later in the rounds, there's going to be less of that. There's going to be less interactions because you're going to take more teams out of the bubble and you know, the seriousness will prevail and then nobody's going to be friends. So this is a lot of the early stuff because everybody's there and everybody's having a good time and it's a weird summer camp vacation, like it's the movie Heavyweights, but with really fit athletic players. Yes, so there is that style to it, but just a fascinating
sequel. Good weights, correct weights, healthy weights.
Yes, exactly. Jacked weights. There is something to this Nugget team right now, and I know that we have Nugget fans listening. I know we're on throughout the great state of Colorado, and I know that what that feeling is like when you kind of feel like on a national landscape, your team is good, but nobody talks about you. And the Denver Nuggets deserve to be talked about because of what they did last year. And this bubble restarted, and because of the fact that it's L.A., because it's LeBron, because it's Kawhi, and then even with the Rockets, and you have guys like Harden and Westbrook, and obviously we brought up the Thunder with Chris Paul. Jokic is a star. He may not be a marketable star, and Michael Porter's emerging, and the Nuggets have absolutely been disrespected, I think, on a national talk topic scale, maybe because they're just not sexy to talk about. But our antenna now has to be up on the Denver Nuggets, and they deserve a little respect on that name.
Yeah, no doubt. No, absolutely no doubt. And I'm just reading a tweet that we made friends, or I at least made friends last week with my Joe Ingles love. And I guess the argument could be made that Jokic is a poor man Joe Ingles. But
read the tweet. Let's go. It says, what do we got?
You can't include the Utah Jazz. They are ahead of the Thunder and the Rockets. So I know Rice. That, and that's from John Roche. Roush, John, hi, thanks for tweeting. I'm sorry I can't say your last name.
It's not as if the Jazz pulled ahead from all of them. Relax.
No, and listen, the Jazz won yesterday, but against a Grizzly team that, by the way, is in an utter free fall. And I don't like extending slumps back into March, since there's been 4+ months in between all of those. But I think the Grizzlies now are like, I don't know, they've lost their last 5 or 6 games going back into the actual regular season. The record is even worse going even farther back from them. They haven't won yet in this bubble, and they lost to the Jazz yesterday.
And lost
Jaren Jackson. But my Jazz hesitation is the way everybody is trending right now. I don't know that the Jazz are the best team in the Rockets and Nuggets comparison. So I'm putting those two teams ahead of the Jazz right now, with room for them to change my mind. And I used to like the Jazz, but I more so than these other teams. But now I'm a little spooked by the way they've looked so far. But again, you know, this is how we go. The next 72 hours could have us spinning Jazz love again and wondering what happened to Michael Porter Jr., because he only scored 11 points in their next 2 games.
It's all we could do here, Bogus, is sign on every morning and talk about what's in front of us. Sometimes predicting the future can leave us hanging. When we come back, we are stunned to a news on a Thursday. Will we go to Florida? Will we go somewhere else? It kind of feels like if you're gambling every day and you go to Vegas, and really we probably should have had this up at sports books before sports came back and it was only NASCAR. Bet on stunned to a news. Is it Florida or is it the field? That's basically where we play. We will see next. It's stunned to a news. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The Thursday carries on without DA. It's Mraz and Bogish here on the DA Show. And remember, this weekend on CBS, the best golfers in the world head west for the season's first major. Will Brooks Koepka take home his third consecutive Wanamaker Trophy, or will someone else step up to take their place in history? The PGA Championship is live starting Saturday at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on CBS.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
I tell you, baseball, the PGA Championship, NBA the NBA season, the NHL postseason, NASCAR still humming along. This is what we play for. This is what we got to. Another great weekend of sports action ahead of us. But first, Bogish, your latest sports update.
Oh, Shawnee, thanks for the introduction. This one is sponsored by Geico, who has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. We go back to the NBA right away. We did not like the Bucks losing 2 days ago to a Nets team missing like its 9 best players, even though they did rest Giannis and Chris Middleton in the second half. The problem was they were not blowing the Nets out in that first half when they had their full complement of players on the floor. The Celtics, though, last night did to Brooklyn what we thought Milwaukee should have done.
Hayward left side against Tyler Johnson, left-hand dribble. He's got a step, drives in strong, throws to the corner, waiting. Jaylen 3, got it.
Man, he is shooting it so easy, like a feather coming off his fingertips.
Cedric Maxwell, Sean Grandy, Celtics Radio. Jaylen Brown at 21, 19 for Jason Tatum, in a 149-115 blowout. Why do you look so flabbergasted?
Because other than the fact that basketball is being played in August, if you woke up from a 6-month coma 10 minutes ago and turned on the radio and just heard that Celtic highlight, you'd question why we're playing in August, but you would not question whether fans were in the building or not. That sounded like a late season Celtic game at TD Garden in Boston. The organ, the fans, it's unbelievable how we've made that sound. And again, tells me, for everybody that says we're going to miss the fans in the NFL this year, if it sounds like that, no, you will not.
The Raptors are 3-0 in the bubble after a 109-99 victory over the Magic, and the Thunder handled the Lakers 105-86. OKC ties Houston for fifth in the West. Nats ace Max Scherzer lasted one inning last night against the Mets. He says his right hamstring has been bothering him, keeping him from pushing off the rubber strong enough, so he pulled himself as a precaution, doesn't think this is a major issue. His team eventually lost the game to the Mets 3-1. Arizona used a 9-run fourth to down the Astros 14-7. Toronto, a 2-1 win in Atlanta, and the Red Sox snapped the four-game skid 5-0 in Tampa Bay. The Yankees and Phillies split 2 in Philly, with the Bombers taking the nightcap 3-1, and the A's got by the Rangers 6-4. That's 5 in a row for Oakland. The Cardinals able to do a light workout at Busch Stadium yesterday after 5 days in a Milwaukee hotel with 13 positive coronavirus tests, but no positive since then, so they are scheduled to host the Cubs tomorrow. And by the way, that Milwaukee hotel, the name of which I don't know right now, is apparently infamous in baseball circles because people believe very strongly that it's haunted, so much so that some teams don't even stay there anymore because players don't like staying there, and the Cardinals were trapped, if it was haunted, in there for five-plus days.
That's a little odd to me, and again, I'm not going to pretend to know the hotel structure of Milwaukee, but for baseball teams to stay at a hotel, I would think it has to be a pretty glitzy hotel. So it wouldn't look like what you would picture, you know, whatever that John Cusack movie was, I think it was 1408, where he stays in, like, whatever bad hotel it is where it looks rinky-dink and it's just dirty, grimy, but it's haunted. I can't imagine a beautiful, state-of-the-art hotel, great pool, great room service being haunted. Like, those two don't add up to me.
Yeah, I see. I think you're painting ghosts with too much of a broad brush here. I mean, they have taste. They have needs. They don't only haunt, like, decrepit, run-down places or create decrepit, run-down places by haunting them. Ghosts, I'm sure, would want to haunt a nice place. I mean, if you're going to spend eternity there, why wouldn't you pick a place that looks nice, spacious, nice rooms with high-end clientele that you can mess with?
You know, that's an interesting point, and maybe you're right. Maybe all of, you know, my life of watching movies and TV shows has told me when you see something dark, creepy, and dank, that's kind of where ghosts like to live. But maybe a ghost does want more than a continental breakfast. Maybe the ghost does want an omelet and some chocolate chip pancakes when he wakes up. Maybe a ghost does want the full, tub and not just the quick stand-up shower. Maybe the ghost wants a balcony view. I think that's all possible. But again, a ghost, Bogus, can zip and zap. I mean, a ghost today could be with me in this room and could be, I would guess, in Tokyo in about 4 hours. I mean, I don't think flight travel really matters. It's like having 15 Concords to hop aboard. So I think the idea is they creep on these cranky hotels because they're not staying there, because he could zip out of there and get to the Bronx for a Yankee game at Yankee Stadium real quick from Milwaukee. So that's why I think they live there. Why would you always go into these nice hotels knowing, you know, you could rest your head? I mean, I would think up above where they stay has got to be glorious. I would think there's plenty of mints on the pillows of the clouds up there. I don't think you need to focus on the Great Hilton or Marriott, and you could go to the simple motel, Bogues.
Yeah, you know, this is much more thought than I ever thought I would put into where ghosts would like to haunt. But I still think the doors to be open to, like, they're like regular people. We all have different tastes and different requirements, and some people, when they have the money, want to stay in a fancy hotel, so maybe some ghosts are hoity-toity and only want to mess with fancy people in fancy places.
Maybe, and maybe there are fancy people that have become ghosts, because if you believe in that way, paranormal activity point for a second. Let's say, and look, I don't want to cause any controversy, if you believe in the people we have, the meditationers, what do you call them? The John Edwards.
Not meditationers.
People.
Yeah, what are they called? Not mentalists either. I don't know, because it's all nonsense.
Medians or mediums?
Yeah, let's go with that. Mediums. Mediums. That's what it is.
Okay. So they're mediums, right? So let's say you and your gals, you have a medium come into Barbara's house, right? You sit down, you're clutching your change, you're hoping that the medium speaks to you. All right, do I hear a J name over here? Oh, my uncle was Joe. He passed away this long ago. All right. Did he love Arby's? Oh, my goodness. How do you know?
He was a guy, right?
Fries?
You know him so well.
Right. So let's say that whole thing happens. And let's say it's for real. Let's say Joe really did love Arby's and he's telling you he misses the curly fries or whatever he's doing. And it's at Barbara's house in the suburbs of Ann Arbor, Michigan, okay? You mean to tell me that that ghost, Uncle Joe there, let's just call him, he has the ability to climb and talk with that medium because he wants to have a discussion with his niece, Stephanie. But that he suddenly can't be on the fine beaches of Honolulu in Hawaii that night? Of course he can be. He's not boarding Delta with the TSA pre-check. So my assumption, again, would be, why do you have to haunt a nice hotel knowing you could be? But then again, now that I bring up, that's probably why. The Caribbean, right? Plenty of these nice hotels in the Caribbean is probably haunted with ghosts because they want to stay on the nice beaches and have themselves a good day at the beach. But then again, is Milwaukee the place you want to visit in a nice hotel? See, there's so many things that could go through your mind here, but I don't know, in essence, that travel is really a big deal.
I'm going to stop thinking about those things and read more sports news. Okay. 4 Eastern this afternoon is the deadline for NFL players to opt out of the coming season because of coronavirus. There are some extreme circumstances under which they can go home down the road. The list of opt-outs is up to 60, with Giants corner Sam Beal and Dolphins receiver Albert Wilson among the latest to make the decision. Suspended Cowboys defensive end Randy Gregory took to social media yesterday to complain about how slowly the NFL is handling his reinstatement request. I believe that paperwork has been at league headquarters since March, but still no decision on whether Gregory can fully rejoin the Cowboys. And yes, the Big Ten did unveil its 10... excuse me, a ghost just got me. It's 10-game conference-only football schedules yesterday. The games begin Labor Day weekend, and there are multiple ways the schedules can be reorganized if necessary. The Mountain West says its football teams will play 8 conference games and up to 2 outsiders, and the final college football playoff decisions, well, college football playoff rankings, I should say, will now be made December 20th, since multiple conferences will or might play their title games later in the month than usual. Portland held off the Philadelphia Union 2-1 in the MLS's back semifinals last night. Minnesota United and Orlando City play tonight, the finals on Tuesday. And 4-3 wins last night for the Blackhawks over the Oilers and the Canadiens over the Penguins. Chicago and Montreal take 2-1 leads in those best of fives. And now, a non-Florida stun to a news.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Not only are we outside Florida this morning, we are outside the U.S. altogether. We're going across the pond to England, part of the U.K., and some dogs, Shawnee, looking for redemption after you said too many of them have gotten lazy these days recently. Now, somehow, dogs' amazing sense of smell makes them good at sniffing out disease in humans. Now, this is still experimental, but it's being used for dogs to half-diagnose you with cancer, diabetes, and other things by smelling your breath, by smelling your body odor. It is not as concrete as dogs sniffing out bombs or drugs or chasing criminals or finding, you know, dead bodies in woods, but it's a promising field of research, so much so that a group of researchers in the northwest region of England are asking people in the local community where there's been a spike of COVID-19 cases recently to supply them with game-worn masks, socks, T-shirts, things that have your body scent on them, to run tests with dogs to see if they can now diagnose or at least raise alarm about a coronavirus infection, which would be a huge help at airports and, you know, ship ports, places where people are coming into areas or leaving areas, and you want to very quickly diagnose who may be an issue. Maybe, just maybe, these non-lazy dogs can do the trick and help us slow down the spread of all of this.
Dogs are freaking amazing. That is unbelievable, but forget about it. You know what's going to come. Bogus, we still have people fighting the idea that they have to wear a mask at a supermarket. We still have people going, you're taking away my freedoms, my rights. I know this is in England. Could you imagine, basically being at O'Hare Airport in Chicago and having a big freaking dog come running up to you barking, and you know you have no drugs, no nothing, and then you're pulled off the plane because you get told this dog just sniffed out coronavirus, sir. You imagine the fight? I would go ballistic if a dog told me I had coronavirus. Get out. What do you mean, bow wow? Get out of here. So as much as I think this can, I do think this can happen because I think dogs are incredibly smart. I think this is awesome because I think the more hardworking dogs that haven't gotten lazy, the better. I think you are really opening up a can of worms in this whole very touch-and-go subject of what's right and what's wrong with detecting coronavirus and leaving it up to dogs to tell you if you believe somebody does or not.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that the dog sniffs you leads to an actual rapid result test down the road. By the time, you know, the dog science is locked in, maybe the actual science, the human science, will be better too, and we can say, oh, the dog smelled something. And, you know, and right now at an airport, the last time I flew in February, we were in lines and spread out and weaving our way through security, and at one point we had to go single file, even more spread out, and have dogs smell us and smell our bags. And if the dog smells something, they pull you aside and they wand your bag or check for weed in your pockets, whatever it is. So maybe
you were leaving a Dave Matthews concert in Mexico, so I do think your experience is a little different.
Was going to a Dave Matthews, but I didn't go to, not everyone at the airport was going there, Sean. You can't profile me. But so maybe by the time we can test, dogs can test for this, then you can walk to the side and they can wand you or scan you or take a swab of your mouth and go, okay, you know, false alarm, you seem to be okay, go on your merry way to wherever. But I'm open to anything making this easier to figure out and control because, like everybody else, like, you know, let's get back to being as close to normal as possible.
So it's so funny. I had no idea you were going down this route of the story, and I was actually going to save this for DA next week to tell him about, you know, how great dogs are, but I think it ties directly in, so I reveal this now. An unbelievable turn of events has happened with my dog Eli in my house, and it speaks to the sense of smell. Now that my daughter has begun to crawl, she's crawling all over the house. I mean, she's reaching for outlets. I'm plugging everything up here. It's a whole thing, Bogish. My dog has become far more fascinated with her. You know, okay, you're crawling, I'm crawling, let's have some fun. And they really have become like the best of friends. However, Eli's new thing, for four straight days he's done this, is he has been the first to detect whether or not Taylor has gone number two in her diaper by completely running up behind her and sticking his nose all the way, basically as far as he can, to that diaper in her butt as she crawls. Usually crawls next to her. The moment she goes, his nose is all over that, and sure enough, the house smells about 2 minutes later. So we have also been conducting our own experiments, quite like they do in England, with if they can detect coronavirus. And I am near, I'm going to give him two more tries at this. If he nails this over the next couple days, I'm going to confirm that my dog can sniff out a stinky diaper, and that alerts me that it's time to change it. So we're doing our own test results over here. They're a little more serious than detecting whether coronavirus exists,
sure,
obviously. But, yeah, it's dogs are amazing, their sense of smell. It's crazy.
And I think the next step for you, once you confirm the skill, is then you need to teach the dog to, like, bark when it smells it to alert you to the movement and the smell,
yes,
and the issue so you can address it as soon as possible. That, I mean, that'd be great, especially, you know, if maybe you're not paying full attention, maybe run to another room or whatever. You hear that little yap, you walk in, and there you go, got to change your diaper. Thanks for the heads
up,
man.
I think by the end of this try, we'll call it the bow wow movement. I think that
there
is
you go.
That is what I'm looking to patent right now. And I'll see myself on that note, Bogus. Thanks for Stundum News. What? Oh, no. Why did I go down that road? I stink. I absolutely stink.
Yeah, well, that's the next thing. He's got to smell your accidents as well.
It's already happening.
Yeah. Eli, what are you doing? Get out of there.
Oh, I'm... Happened again. Sorry. I'll be right back to you.
It was Taco Tuesday.
Whoops.
Sorry, DA. I got to go ahead.
Daddy made
a whoopsie.
The floor again?
Dad, we have a toilet.
Right. I go from me saving the dog by eating what I thought was chocolate chips to the dog saving everybody else in the house by sniffing out my chocolate chips.
Ugh.
Unbelievable. All right. Well.
And I almost went there yesterday for 7 hours.
What a house. Speaking of which, by the way, you almost went here because I didn't have power, and it just should be noted. At 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, my power goes completely out a full 24 hours after Tropical Storm Isaias had left us. And I'm sitting there going, okay, maybe they powered down for half an hour to reboot some other part of the neighborhood. As it turns out, how about this little nugget? All right, you have all these crews throughout the Northeast fixing all the power lines down from this storm. Apparently, a couple blocks over where power was lost by me, a utility worker trying to restore power went to back his truck up with the big, you know, whatever you call those things, the pole standy things.
Are they called cherry pickers?
Maybe the cherry pickers, right? He goes to back it up to get a little closer to fix whatever line he's going to fix. And hits it a little too fast in reverse and knocks down an entire telephone pole. And thus more wires go flying and caused a complete outage of literally 14 blocks, I found out yesterday, including mine. So this idiot was there to fix lines and completely blows up. And instead of fixing the line he was supposed to for literally what amounted to a block's worth of houses, ended up costing another 14 blocks worth of houses power. I was without power. Thankfully, it was only 5 hours. By the second half of the Laker game, I was into it. It was fine. But, and I know a lot of people have it worse. There's some people may not have power for days in the Northeast. So I'm not trying to complain that I lost power for 5 hours. But could you imagine being a doofus in the middle of working like this and ramming your truck across the telephone pole to knock down wires bogus? I mean, you had one job.
Well, along those same lines, when the storm calmed down enough Tuesday night here in Long Island, we went out for a walk to see how bad the neighborhood was. And we had known, we saw a picture on social media, that this huge tree had fallen across a street up the block from us. So we went right there first. Now, I mean, this tree, I mean, it might have been 25 feet around.
It's like going to Disney World and making sure you hit whatever ride you wanted to hit first. We're going to run right there as soon as the gates open.
Space Mountain.
But this huge knot of branches from this tree, which were like a tree size on their own. They fell off and they literally got like wrapped and spun up in the power wires. They were swaying. I have video of it swaying in the wind, this huge, massive tree in these wires. While we were standing there at our friend's house, just talking, everybody kind of assessing their own damage, two different trucks pulled up, looked at that, picked up his phone, and then made a U-turn and got out of there like, I'm not touching this bad boy. Because it had taken the transistor down. It was basically free. It was flailing in the wind. And two different guys were like, nope, I'm not doing that one. I'm calling headquarters and getting out of here.
None of these guys
want
to work. It's amazing. None of these guys want to work. All right, when we come back, your best audio of the day, including, why would anybody want to hang with Russell Wilson? Why? We discuss next. It's Soundcheck on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Bogus, we hum along with Soundcheck. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson introduced his alter ego on social media, and listen to how uncomfortable this was. Or don't.
Hey guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real excited. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you got to be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who's your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll. They think this person. Think that person. Love you, Pete. But it's Mr. Unlimited, Tom.
Oh, my heart hurts, Bogus.
I mean, today's poll question: does that sound worse, or do I look worse? Which is the worst? Which is the worst thing this morning?
Here's the bit. If like,
oh, there is no bit. There is no bit.
No, because if Russell Wilson acknowledged that he knew this was like a joke, like the joke was that he was going to do something really stupid, he he was, yeah, joking that, like, Mr. Unlimited is, like, an alter ego for him, but he wasn't, he meant that to be funny. He meant that to be, like, oh, yeah, inspirational.
Mr. Unlimited.
But in reality, it's like somebody's doing a Saturday Night Live skit about Russell Wilson, but he's not in on it. My heart hurts. My heart hurts for everybody in that Seahawk huddle. My heart hurts for Russell. My heart hurts for Ciara. My thoughts and prayers, because that is just as uncomfortable as it gets.
Well, hold on for just a second. Now, I think I did read that this video is a couple of years old, and someone randomly found it on Russell's like timeline. It's not brand new, and it was just kind of, it was resurfaced yesterday or the day before. But let's not let Ciara off the hook. I'm assuming that's her voice asking him question that he then answers. So she's all in on Mr. Unlimited, which is also a knock on her, because there's nothing cool, funny, anything about it. She should have been packing up and leaving as he was doing that video, not playing along and fueling questions for him to answer cornily with Mr. Unlimited. I mean, all of that is nonsense, and they should all be ashamed.
Yeah, and immediately my head goes to the wrong place. I'm starting to think she's involved, because maybe there was, prior to this release of Instagram, some role play where he introduced Mr. Unlimited, and that was something that she was all in on, and thus led to the cameo in the video. But
what do you mean,
I would say
what's
this.
What's Unlimited about that?
Look, I don't know. I do not know, but my assumption is, you know, Ciara would like to have this one back, that she would... You know, this video was far worse than her Goodies music video. She'd like to have this one back.
Who brings you motivation, yeah, and Russell?
Mr. You know, Unlimited.
It's like the Brady-Giselle dynamic as well. I'm pretty sure that Ciara is like a bigger deal than Russell Wilson. Like, she's a bigger music deal than he is in the NFL, as big as in the NFL. I mean,
is she though? When was the last Ciara hit you heard?
I don't know, but, like, you know, Giselle dwarfs Brady in actual earnings. Like, I thought Ciara, when push came to shove, and, like, J-Lo and A-Rod, I think that there's more money on the women's. Like, she doesn't need to put up with this. You know, he might be cute and handsome and throw a football well, but, like, she doesn't need to deal with this nonsense if she doesn't want to. I don't know why she would want to.
Remember, I did hang with them for a little bit at Justin Timberlake's album release party. And she was way cooler than he was. He was weird about taking a shot. We all did a shot together, us, Samter from Tiki and Tierney. You know, we were all good. We were hanging. Russell was a little weird, and CR was way more outgoing. So maybe you're right. You know, having the personal experience and the friendship I had, obviously hanging with these guys at the Justin Timberlake album release party, you know, where I was invited, that is the kind of, you know, stuff that you get with a Russ Ciara. I haven't been in their house in a while, so I can't tell you if anything's changed, but you're right, she doesn't have to put up with it, bogus.
Yeah, but you were right, because you know them. She actually does not make as much as he does. He's the number one breadwinner in that family. Let's leave them alone for now. Move to baseball. Here's Brewers manager Craig Counsell. They won last night, but without Christian Yelich, he was out. I think he's on a 3-for-34 slump, so he had the day off yesterday.
We see and he feels, but is probably having a hard time just fixing that, are definitely a part of this and a big part of this. So it's also, you know, can be exhausting when you're just not getting the results that you want to get.
Yeah, I don't know, Bogish. I think maybe that he's spending a little too much time staying in the haunted hotel, which I think we found out is the Pfeiffer or the Pfeister, because game two, I believe it was, versus... Was it the Cubs on opening weekend? Yelich hit a bomb at Wrigley, and we thought he was going to go off and start this tear, and it's been nothing but downhill since.
Yeah, I think somebody called him the best player in baseball, not Mike Trout, and he has 3 hits since then.
Yeah, he's not Mr. Unlimited. No. Tiger Woods ahead of the PGA Championship. How's he feeling?
I feel good. Obviously, I haven't played much competitively, but I've been playing a lot at home. So I've been getting plenty of reps that way. Just trying to get my way, you know, back into this part of the season. This is what I've been gearing up for.
Yeah, and as always, the best part about golf, but also probably the worst part for the future, is if Tiger is in this thing heading into Saturday, Sunday, there will be plenty of eyeballs. But you could say Tiger's not going to be there forever. You better figure this out with other stars. I don't think Tiger's going to come anywhere near the top of the leaderboard here, but it's nice to see he feels good. I think the best of Tiger Woods we will see throughout this entire summer, actually, will probably be what he did with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Phil Mickelson on Memorial Day weekend, folks.
And there is some nerdy golf news with Tiger. He's apparently changing his putter, which is a rarity for him. He's used kind of the same model for forever. I think it's 14. Well, all but one of his majors come with the same putter. But he is going to a new version of that putter, it appears, for at least round one at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco for you golf nerds out there.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Interesting, bogus. I, too, much like Tiger Woods, made a switch. I recently went with the purple handle putter at the mini golf course at Heartland and got away from the lime green. So I am in the Tiger camp as well. Had to switch that up too.
And how did it work?
I'm still struggling. Okay. But I went purple over lime green at the counter. When we come back, the snitch is back. The NFL taking a page out of the NBA. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.